T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback, as all our guests do. Albert joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, good afternoon. How you doing, bud?
What's up, Albert?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. I think for the most part, just kind of resigned that I certainly, and we talked about this for much of the afternoon, understand the precedent argument or defense that Myles Garrett would use, but I think ultimately probably going to miss the season anyway. Your thoughts on what he brought to the table, what he brought to James Thrashton?
I can tell you, for one, there's the argument, there are two arguments, really. The first argument is that you can't have a penalty without a number of games on for an offense like this, because that basically equals banishment. Because if you get banished from the league, basically what that means is that you need to apply for reinstatement. And in this case, that's exactly what they'd have Myles Garrett do. He'd need to gain reinstatement from the commissioner. And so, they're basically making the argument you have to put a number on it, which I think makes sense, right? Like, I get that. The second piece, which is what you guys were referencing, the argument of precedent, I actually, the union's got an interesting argument on that one, too, and just that Antonio Smith and, God, like this, he didn't connect, but he swung the helmet at Ricky Incognito, and I didn't realize this until I just kind of dug around over the last week, only got 2 preseason games and then 1 regular season game. And so, you take that, and then you take the perfect penalty, which he got 12 games, and he has a long, long list of offenses and priors and everything else. And you say to yourself, well, how does Myles Garrett fit into that? So I think they probably win on the first argument, that there should be a number on it. That makes sense to me, that they should be able to give him a number, how many games he's out, and maybe losing the second one. And maybe they just say, okay, it's 6 games and see you next year.
Doesn't it matter, though, that he hit a quarterback? And it's a superstar. It's a former number one overall pick. It's everything you can imagine as far as for being a franchise player in Myles Garrett. And then he hits a quarterback. And that's way different to me than anything with Richie Incognito and Antonio Smith.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I do think that that's probably in the back of their mind, the idea that it's a quarterback that they have to protect quarterbacks. But my feeling on that is that it shouldn't be. Because this had nothing to do with why you protect quarterbacks in the first place, which is you protect the quarterbacks in the first place because they're sitting ducks back there. This was like an altercation that had nothing to do with anything that, anything to do with, the position the quarterback's in or the position the pass rusher's in going after him. So my feeling is that, it probably does have an effect on it, just based on, the way the league looks at all this stuff, but I bet that it should.
We're talking to Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, one more thing on this, and then we'll move on. But Maurkice Pouncey is there's a lot coming out of Pittsburgh about, hey, he's upset, first of all, that he's suspended for 3 games. He's also upset because he feels like the reason they did this and made it 3 instead of 1 is because they don't want him playing in that in another week or so against the Browns.
Yeah.
And I think it falls on deaf ears, essentially, because he tried to kick Myles Garrett in the head. What's your response to that?
And I think that's, honestly, guys, I feel that argument that, he shouldn't play and the next time the 2 teams play, I actually think that's okay because the league doesn't want to further play in the situation. They're playing against each other. You certainly at least have your radar up for some sort of retribution, right? So I think it's fair that the league says that's too soon. And on top of that, look, the minute you start punching and kicking out there, and I appreciate Maurkice Pouncey coming to the defensive as quarterback. I totally think that, I think a lot of players would appreciate that, that he that he went out there and he stuck up for his quarterback in that situation when his quarterback was being attacked. That said, you know, just when you start throwing punches and kicking people out there, you're really opening yourself up because, again, that's like outside. Once you go outside the bounds of what's, you know, football play and you start doing stuff like that, like, you know, the league is sort of in a position where they have to crack down on those sorts of things, at the very least to create a deterrent for other players ever engaging in that sort of thing.
Albert, I could make a strong case that Larry Ogunjobi's hit on Mason Rudolph after the fact, if it was isolated, it would have been one of the biggest stories of the week. It would have been a massive story, to be honest, because the violence that he hit him with was also there. It was aggressive. Were you surprised one game was the result and it being upheld today?
You know what? I actually thought, so my feeling on it was if, like, what Larry Ogunjobi did and what Mason Rudolph did, right? Like, take what those two guys did. I actually thought, like, for those two guys, like, neither of those offenses would be suspendable if they just happened on their own, right? And I think in Ogunjobi's case, you probably have a fine. You might have a fine in Rudolph's case. And so I sort of felt like with those two that maybe they were in the same category. And, you know, beyond like Garrett and Pouncey, which I think were easy suspensions, you know, when you look at what those two guys did, it's okay. Like those two to me were similar. And I can understand suspending guys in that spot because of the circumstances, even if they aren't suspendable, if they'd happen, you know, as isolated incidents. What surprised me was them sort of separating one from the other and saying, okay, we're going to suspend one guy and not the other guy. I would have been okay with them suspending both. I would have been okay with them suspending neither. I was surprised they suspended one and not the other. And that, like, again, I think that sort of, like, raises the questions about special treatment of quarterbacks, which, you know, is something we talked about earlier. So I certainly think that maybe the most interesting thing about the way the penalties were laid out wasn't so much what happened with Garrett or Pouncey, but sort of how they separated what Ogunjobi did from what Rudolph did.
Albert, I don't think anybody's surprised that, you know, Baltimore beat the Houston Texans last Sunday, but by, what, 35 points, whatever it was, 34. Are they the best team in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, what's interesting about it to me is, like, these things are always evolving, right? Like, a lot of times the best teams are teams that had major problems earlier in the year. And I think you look at some of the best teams in the league right now, and you look at San Francisco, like, can the quarterback be more consistent? You look at Seattle, you know, Seattle's getting better defensively, but they've been really up and down, and Russell Wilson's had to bail them out a bunch. The Patriots, their offensive line's been a big problem, and the offense in general is sort of sputtered. And then you look at the Ravens, and what separates the Ravens right now, I think, from the rest of the league, is that they had a major problem, they addressed it, and it seems like they're better in that area. And really for them early in the year, and you guys saw it when the Browns played the Ravens, that was on defense. Having lost Eric Weddle and C.J. Mosley and Terrell Suggs, it really looked like their defense wasn't close to the same and what we've been used to in a Baltimore defense. So, you know, in early October, they cut Timmy Williams to send a message to the locker room. They signed Josh Bynes, a veteran middle linebacker, to stabilize things in their front seven. And they trade for Marcus Peters. And when you put Peters in the lineup now, with Jimmy Smith coming back off of injury and Marlon Humphrey playing like a top five corner, you've created a legitimate strength on that side of the ball. And so, you know, I know what Lamar's done is remarkable. And their offense has been really, really good all year, creative, complete, like all that stuff. You're seeing everything from the Ravens offense right now. I think what's so interesting about the Ravens and the spot they're in is how far along they've come defensively, which if the improvement that we've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks from them on defense is real, they're going to be very, very difficult to deal with. And then it becomes on other teams, but then it's sort of on the other teams, like the Patriots, like the Niners, like the Seahawks, to fix their problems like the Ravens did.
Albert, just today, Le'Veon Bell ripped the NFL for the random HGH blood test. He's now been tested 5 times. Odell Beckham Jr. in the past week has said, "No, quote, nobody's getting tested like me when it comes to random drug tests." Why is it that the superstars in this instance seem to be targeted? Is this just, hey, circumstance, it happens? Or is there something actually to this, some substance to them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I think that stuff's hard because I've talked to ex-players who weren't all that prominent who have said this happens. Like, you'll go a long time without getting tested, and then all of a sudden you'll be tested three times in a month. And, you know, I mean, there's the NFL swears it's random. I wouldn't put anything past them, you know, based on their track record in the 15 years that I've been covering the league. So nothing would really surprise me, but I don't have any evidence that there's been any sort of chicanery or anything like that with the testing. It's just, you know, I guess sometimes guys go a period of time without being tested, then other times they get tested a bunch in a shorter period of time, which would be the nature of random testing. So, I mean, it's possible. I'm not ruling anything out, but I just don't have any evidence of it actually being intentional as happening this way with certain guys.
Albert, we'll get you out of here with this. The Rams last year looked so great, and offensively, all the weapons and Sean McVay, and Bears, same thing with Matt Nagy. Is it as simple as saying, you know what, Jared Goff just isn't the QB we thought, or Mitchell Trubisky isn't the guy that they thought? Or is there more to McVay and Nagy? Like, what's going on with those two?
I mean, I think it's a tough question, because I think in both cases, we're seeing like the rosters in different spots than they were a year ago. Now look at the Rams, you know, and this didn't get a lot of attention, but you know, John Sullivan, who'd been the center there for McVay's first 2 years, and has been with McVay longer than that. He was with him in Washington, and Roger Saffold are gone. So you're dealing with that, and they brought two young kids replace him, and they didn't really perform up to the level you'd expect them to perform to. The Bears' offensive line hasn't been the same. They lose probably their best player up front, Kyle Long. They've had to move James Daniels inside and outside. You know, I just think with both teams, you see the offensive line issue sort of metastasizing into bigger problems for the quarterback. And when the quarterback's got issues, now you're talking about something else entirely. And when you can't run the ball, it's really hard to manage an offensive line issue. And so it's sort of like one thing leading to another. And I think it's another example, and you guys have a great example there in Cleveland, of how offensive line issues can sort of affect your offense like the plague. You know, all of a sudden, before you know it, you got a couple issues up front, and those problems are sort of showing up everywhere. And I think that the best example of how important that area is, just look at the four teams that were alive at the end last year and how much those teams had invested in their offensive lines. I mean, the Chiefs at the tackle position had a number one overall pick on one side and a huge free agent signing of Mitch Schwartz on the other side. Another guy they paid at guard and a center who's going to become the highest paid center in football a few months later. The Saints have the highest paid left tackle in the game at one point, had a first round pick at guard, a first round pick at right tackle, and a guy they traded Jimmy Graham for at center. The Patriots had a first round pick, on the roster that they just spent on. They brought in Trent Brown to play left tackle. He wound up being the highest paid tackle in football. You know, Shaq Mason, a guard that they paid. Marcus Cannon, a book guard that they paid. You know, all of these teams, the Rams included, all four of those teams were heavily invested in the offensive line. And I just think unless you've got a quarterback who's transcendent, who can cover up all of those issues, if you have an offensive line problem, it's going to start to show up everywhere. And so, you know, I think that that's probably where it starts. And then, you know, once you get that issue, it's just harder for a coach to come up with answers. And if the quarterback starts to lose confidence, then the whole thing comes down, which I think is a big part of what we've seen in L.A. and Chicago.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, always great stuff, and we appreciate the time today. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Albert.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.